Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
Friday and welcome to Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. The World Series resumes tonight. Yay! I know we've been all very excited about Boston and the Dodgers. We'll get into that at 10:01 this morning. In addition to that, we are stacked with actual real-world content that you want. Jim Barnett in 1 hour. Warriors, Knicks at the Garden tonight. In addition to that, the beef line at 7:30, still time for any last second calls, 415-403-8588. That's 415-403-8588. Remember, we are approaching the end of the month. We take the best calls every Monday and Friday at 7:30. Best of the best gets a $100 gift certificate at the end of the month, courtesy of our friends at Harris Ranch. Beat the bookie at 8:45, Low versus Dibs at 9:45. Boys, we're stacked. We'll get to our hot takes in just a moment. How's everyone feeling? Houston over Brocktober last night. What a football game.
What a great game. And just spectacular fashion. You know, you thought maybe Brock had something going. You had Amendola throw a touchdown pass. And, oh, maybe we might have ourselves a ball game. But then the real Deshaun Watson, please stand up, please stand up. That Houston team at times can be pretty explosive.
Yeah, that they could. You know, flipped in that one, flipped on the station, saw a little bit of that, and I couldn't watch it. Couldn't watch enough of it. I had to watch You Know Who and watch what they, you know what they do. Every now and then they start to get things right. So my focus was on another game.
He got himself a You Know What. You Know Who got a You Know What, and they got themselves a W. So congrats to you and yours.
Quietly, I lost quite a bit of money on that game last night. Courtesy of the Lakers, just motorboating the Nuggets, who were 4-0. They had a night of rest. Everything was in their favor. The Lakers had to come back from Phoenix and figure it out. And lo and behold, the Nuggets shot 50% from the floor.
Whoa.
Still lost the game.
Yeah.
So lost a bunch of money on that. Yeah. Probably drank a little bit too much last night. I'll be completely honest here as we're having our confessional at 6 a.m.
I love
These are
it.
My confessions.
Thank you, Usher.
All right, Friday opening segment. You know how we do. Wild and outrageous hot takes that do not need to be confined to A, the Bay Area, or B, the sports world in general. Now, we tend to confine them to the sports world, but people have the ability and the freedom to go outside of that if they so choose. Rarely do these ever come through. Have we hit on any of these over the last 4 weeks?
My Spartans came close last week when I predicted a 24-point underdog pull off the upset, and I believe you had yours, Purdue, the Boilermakers, hammer down, boiler up, or boiler up, hammer down. You got that one to come home, so yeah.
Is hammer down actually part of the saying there?
Yes.
Boiler up, hammer down.
Yeah.
That's nice. I like
that. Man, that's what they do.
That's how they get
Alabama,
down.
Alabama, it's rammer, jammer, yellow hammer.
Wow.
Hammer, yellow. It's something. There's a book after it, too,
yeah,
about Alabama fandom. They have some sort of thing. I would love to elaborate for you, but I don't have the details.
Okay. I'll take your word for
Very
it.
Very lazy.
I'm trying to get my boy Quest to apply there for college. As he's
to Alabama?
Getting, yeah. Apparently they give out a lot
Bay Area kid to Alabama?
Bama? You want to Bama?
A lot of kids come from Northern California and California and go to Bama because they give you a lot of financial aid and scholarships for out-of-state kids.
Really?
So I'm trying to at least get him to explore the option.
You visiting would fit in perfectly down there.
I'm telling you what.
You and all your viewpoints.
Yeah.
Go down there and tell them how you don't eat meat.
Oh, yeah. You know, bring my Barbara Boxer poster and my Dianne Feinstein t-shirt. That'd be a big hit.
Lafayette may be a little more laid back for the big
Could be, could yeah. be.
Maybe
The big fella
there.
Can fit in anywhere, though.
Yeah, he can.
He's doing well in school.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of this. He will have opportunities.
Yes, sir.
Now, since we're already speaking to you, and we're speaking about your family and Well, it's intelligence. Oh, we'll come to the patriarch of the said family. Your hot take for this week, sir.
And it is the hot takes that that pay the bills around our house. My hot take, Joe, is Steph Curry, that plucky little point guard. He's going to have himself another 50 burger. He's going to go back-to-back 50-point games. He'll be the first to do it since James Harden and the first Warrior since Antoine Jameson. Steph Curry, 50-plus tonight.
You would like to believe the Knicks would be on the lookout for that, but after all, it is the Knicks.
And it is KD's night, after all, because it's going to be a showcase game for KD. KD might get 40, but Steph's going to get himself a 50-burger.
Very nice. I'm now very excited to put that game on tonight. Anna, good morning. Welcome to the program. Your hot take for this Friday morning.
All right. So Reuben Foster had a terrible week last week. He missed more tackles than he made, but I think this week, so apparently he had the best practice yesterday that he had all season. So I think this weekend against the lowly Cardinals team, he will match his career best in tackles at 14.
Glad to hear you had a good practice yesterday.
Yeah.
Who reports on that? Hey, I gotta tell you, Reuben Foster looked great at practice yesterday. Well, the fact that he made it onto the practice field is a step in the right direction. 14 tackles for Reuben Foster.
Touch Carolina Reaper right there.
IDP leagues, pay attention to that. Nice guy, Steven. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great new haircut.
Appreciate it.
You look good. You're feeling good. Very fresh. What do you have for us?
So the record for most home runs in a single World Series game was set last year at 8 between the Dodgers and Astros. Well, I think this weekend the record will be set at 10. Wait, wrong button.
He rimshot at himself.
Very clever. Wrong, quote, wrong button.
Right,
right. Very nicely done, but calling for a record in home runs. I like it. Is that confined to game 3 or 4? Is it just those two games? If this stretches to 7, does it count for all of them?
Just confined for the entire weekend. So it can go to game 5 by Sunday, I believe. So
we're playing 3 in a row, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All right, beautiful stuff. Producer Cody, welcome to the program. It is great to see you as always. What are you thinking about for your Friday morning hot take?
Well, first of all, I agree with Dibs. The greatness of Steph Curry will take over the Garden. But I'm going to take you guys back to 2016, Christmas Eve. Derek Carr breaks his leg at the end of the season. Raiders season's over against the Colts. Derek Carr and the Raiders will win this weekend, and redemption will be spelled C-A-R-R.
He's calling a Raiders win. That's pretty hot. That is pretty hot.
So just to be clear, well, they're 3-point underdogs. It's not bad.
It's room temperature. That was an RTT right there.
It works. But, I mean,
thank you.
To be honest, it's not like the Raiders are winning a lot of games. So calling a Raider win, no matter what the situation, relatively hot. Job well done. Lorenzo Neal, it's good to see you.
Yeah, it's really good to be seen. My hot take is that there will be...
Why do you not want an open casket? Wouldn't you like to be seen in that scenario as well?
No, he doesn't want you to slap.
You don't want to be slapped.
You don't want to get slapped.
Me and Mr. Dibbs, we're still in the same church?
Yes, we're still earned brothers.
Okay, good. My hot take is, after this week, there will be a coach that's going to be shown the door. After this week, there will be another starting quarterback in the league that there's someone in the league, whether it's throughout the league, whether it's the Giants, whether it's Bortles, someone will be benched and ushered in a new quarterback via trade, but this will happen. Coach fired and new quarterback.
Wow, both. The combo.
I gave you a 2 hot takes.
I like it. It's very good, very strong. You could see Vance Joseph and the Denver Broncos going to Kansas City, getting absolutely annihilated.
Motorboated.
You've called Vance Joseph as the first coach fired for a while. You can see them going to Kansas City. They're 10-point dogs, 9.5-point dogs. They get blown out.
Blown out.
Kansas City has covered every point spread this year. They're covering, from an aggregate perspective, their point spread covers number one in the league. They cover the spread by more points than anybody. So that would be a perfect scenario. You lose that divisional game. You're humiliated. Chad Kelly just got dropped from the team. Denver looks dysfunctional. Yep. He gets fired. The other part is about at least one starting quarterback will lose his job for good, possibly Bortles, possibly Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. On this Football Friday, brought to you by Mancini's Sleep World, Golden State Lumber, and Harris Ranch Beef on 95.7 The Game. All right.
Let us have
it. As usual, I close this segment with something far more tepid than what has come before me, and I will continue said tradition. I'm going to keep it simple. Even though they are huge underdogs tonight, I have the Boston Red Sox sweeping the Los Angeles Dodgers out of the World Series.
Wow.
I think it's over. I know tonight Walker Buehler's pitching for the Dodgers. They're minus 155 favorites. Boston is a huge dog. Boston gets it done tonight. Boston gets it done tomorrow. It's a clean sweep. The Dodgers have no business being in this series. We all were foolish to even doubt Boston at any point going into the playoffs. They are a juggernaut. They are playing fantastic. This series ends in a sweep.
They sure look like a team of destiny, you know. Unlike that Seattle team that won 116 so many years ago, they still looked a little shaky in the postseason. This Boston team has looked dominant from March all the way through October.
When it comes to predictions, we are asking for your prediction on who will win the Niners-Cardinals game this weekend. You can go to the website, 957thegame.com, and take part in our Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. And if you want to holler at us at any point today, hit up the text line, 95795, the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Now, it's time to buckle down, because the Warriors, while they've been on cruise control, one of their top rivals is in the midst of making a monumental error. We'll have that for you next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Steph put on a show against the Wizards, scoring 51 points. Steph follow up his big game under the bright lights of Madison Square Garden. Tune in today to find out. Coverage starts at 3. Tip off at 4:30 on the home of the NBA champs. 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Friday. Great to have you with us. Golden State Warriors traveling to New York to take on the Knickerbockers tonight. You can hear everything on 95.7 The Game. Tip time, I believe, as I try to stall this out and bring it up, 4:30 p.m. 4:30 p.m. this afternoon, the sultry sounds of Tim Roy will navigate the Mecca. Warriors currently a 12-point road favorite. Wow. I mean, good God. I wonder if there will be any spreads at any point less than double digits this season.
Probably not on this trip.
He gets mad. It makes it hard on you. You don't.
I'm not going the other way. Like, we all know that if you want to make money on Warrior basketball games this year, you bet against them. It's not anything personal. It's just they're so overvalued. But I don't want to bet against the team. They've done so well by me since I moved here. You can't bet against these guys. So it's like, and you're not, everything's a damn pass.
But you're not really betting against them. You're just saying, hell, you're not going to cover the 50-point point spread.
Rest everybody in the fourth. That's what I'm betting on. I'm betting on Kerr resting everybody in the fourth and the backups taking it easy.
Right.
Sometimes those suckers get in there. They try to make plays. So you have to be worried about when the backups get in.
It's bad for business.
And this is the beauty of being a fan of the Golden State Warriors. We come on, we laugh about double-digit point spreads. We got a three-game roadie coming up here against, what, the Knicks, the Nets, and the Bulls. Should be 3-0. And we'll break that all that down. We're going to get to that in about 12 minutes. We're going to focus specifically on the Warriors. But right now, we want to bring to you the latest developments of a Warriors chief rival. Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN yesterday with a Woj bomb.
Well, Houston is all in on trying to win a championship with this core of veterans, James Harden, Chris Paul, and four first-round picks is the most you can put in a deal, because you can't have a trade. You can't have a pick going out every year. It's got to be every other year and only 7 years out. So that's the most they can put in a deal. Talks around the players that would be involved are fluid, but Houston is in an absolute win-now mode. They would like to trade for Butler and then re-sign him to a max deal this summer.
Oh, my God. You're telling me the Houston Rockets like Jimmy Butler that much that they want to give up four first-round picks. Now, with the way the NBA works, there are a lot of different machinations at play here. Woj touched on some of it. But you can't just give them four picks 4 years in a row. You can give them a pick next year, and then the next first-round pick has to be 2 years after that. But it can only go as far as 7 years. Essentially, all you need to know, four first-round picks from Houston to Minnesota in exchange for Jimmy Butler, spread out over the next 7 years. Butler is 29 years old, right? He is scheduled to make this season a base salary of $18.6 million. He wants that new deal, and he's got a player option for next year, which he's clearly going to opt out of. So you're going to give up four first-round picks for a guy who you may get less than a season out of, and you're going to, we're going to try to re-sign him. You can't guarantee that. Minnesota thought they were going to be able to re-sign him. This guy's completely volatile. He might bail on you at the end. I shouldn't stack the deck with my analysis before I ask you guys what you think, but what do you think of this?
I think it's too high a price no matter who the player is. I don't know if you would give up four firsts. I guess you would if you could get Anthony Davis, for example, under team control for 5 years. Then you would give up four first-round picks, I think, for a player of that caliber. But a question mark for the future to give up four first-round picks, I mean, that's basically sacrificing four of your next seven drafts, because we know it's only a two-round draft, and second-round guys aren't guaranteed, so a lot of times they don't even make the club. So really, the NBA draft is about that first-round pick. So you're saying we're all in for this year or bust, and the bust is 7 years of basically half drafts.
Your thoughts? Four first-round picks over the next 7 years from Houston to Minnesota in exchange for Jimmy Butler.
You can't do it. You already overpaid an aging Chris Paul. You can't do it. You don't know. This guy's not going to be healthy. He's not going to play the whole season. He's injury-prone. And now you want to put yourself and now strap yourself to Jimmy Butler, a guy like you talked about who can come into a locker room and say, you know what? I don't want to play today. I want to challenge all you guys. The guy's not a leader. He's not a guy that I would put that much in. Is he a fine little player? Yeah, Jimmy can go down there and he can bang, play a little defense. Yes, he can score, go get his, you know, do the things that he can do. But that's way too much. It's absurd. I wouldn't do it. It's a hard, hard pass. And getting Jimmy Butler doesn't necessarily make this team going to get them over the hump anyway. You got other holes. You need to friggin' cut your guy right now that you brought in and just cut him. He's a hung tooth.
Carmelo. Give him some time.
Time for what?
Time to make a play.
He's starting to contribute off the bench a little bit. He had a good game the other night. I think he pitched in with 18 or 20 off the bench. You just have to know who he is and expect him to give you what he's going to give you, which is zero defense. And on nights when he's feeling it, he can definitely fill it up still. There's no doubt about that.
The king of the 21.5-point jumper. 21.5-foot jumper, excuse me.
He's a knockdown shooter, without a doubt.
Two massive questions here. Massive questions. Number one, given the state of the Golden State Warriors and given the upcoming state of the Los Angeles Lakers, what are you thinking if you're Houston? Like, if you're Daryl Morey, are you figuring that one way or another you're leaving this franchise in the next couple years? Because if that's the case, I get it. Outside of that, this makes no sense to me from a guy who I admire the way he goes about his business. There's a great Michael Lewis book, The Undoing Project, I think it's called. I'm actually reading it right now. But Daryl Morey and the Rockets are a big part of this story. I'm not going to bore you with the details, but the guy's approach to the game, he's a grinder. He's a hard worker. He's looking for inefficiencies that he can exploit. Very much Moneyball-ish, obviously, by the author who wrote Moneyball. But he grinds and he's trying. Like, I like it. Even if it doesn't work, I like what he's doing. But this makes no sense. And not only is that the most astronomical question here, the real astronomical question is, why has Minnesota not already closed the deal on this? If this is actually out there, why haven't you not stamped it and said, he's on the plane? Absolutely. We're sending him on our private jet to you, bubble wrapped. He's coming with a bottle of Dom Perignon and a nice thank you note on very expensive paper. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you not have done this? This puts you in Boston shoes. Remember Boston 6 years ago, 7 years ago, when they were swinging all those deals and they set up this arsenal of assets for the next decade? Now Boston is ready to contend. They're there. They're deep. They're talented. They're well coached. You make this deal, it doesn't matter if you make the four picks. You package them. You move around. You end up setting up your franchise for the future. Right now, you're not competing with the Warriors anyway. Why wouldn't they have already said yes?
There's a couple things. The one thing is you have to match up salaries in the NBA, as you know. So you're going to have to take some piece back. And maybe that piece is Carmelo Anthony.
Sure.
So, I mean, do you want to basically derail your whole season and possibly corrupt your young nucleus by bringing in Carmelo Anthony if he, in fact, is the player? So I think that's one thing that might be holding it up. And the other thing is the idea that Houston's first-round draft picks aren't really that great if Houston continues to do as well as they have. You're going to be picking 28th or 29th in that first round. So as much as the eye-popping marquee value of first-round draft picks sounds great, if Houston is good, those picks really aren't as valuable as they are in other sports.
Great points. The one thing I would counter with is the idea that Butler is not going to be with you next year. No matter what, you are not going to convince Jimmy Butler to re-sign in Minnesota and hang out with these young guys. There's probably too much damage that's been done, too much bad blood. You got to move on. So just the fact that this is sitting out there, this is the Herschel Walker trade in reverse. Right, Houston is trying to undo everything Jared Jones was working for.
I think if I trade him no matter what. Like you just alluded to, Joe, he's not going to be on the team. He doesn't want to be here. What are you holding on to him for? I don't think this deal is. It's interesting. We've got to hear from Houston. I don't know if they're really going to make it. If it's that sweet of a deal, I mean, I know fourth could be bad if they win. If they continue to win and they get picking late in the first round. I don't care if you got four of those late in the first round, you're going to hit on a couple of those. You're still picking in the first round, so every team picks before you, but you're still getting a pretty good player that's in college that you can go after. And then you could also package the deal and trade players for that as well. I just think that it's too much. I think that Houston's going about this whole thing wrong. You're watching the teams play right now, and you see a lot of these teams. The Lakers are a young team. And if you said, hey, let's get those young guys and say, Ingram is not even playing. Of course, we know he's suspended. Think about just athletically. Athletically, when you look at Kuzma, Ingram, Lonzo Ball, they're athletic. They have the ability athletically, just like everyone else has. Now it's, do they have the mental and the skill level?
It's about development.
Exactly. So just when you watch this team, how young and like you're talking about, when Houston sees what's happening, what do? Is this a panic move because they're looking around and seeing all this young talent everyone else has? They should take a page out of that and say, maybe we need to go that route, because right now, Dubs aren't going anywhere, at least for this year.
It's a panic move. It's widespread panic. Yeah. It's panic at the disco.
It is.
Joe panic. Quickly, as a Warrior fan, do you want the Rockets to make this trade?
No. No, you don't, because Jimmy Butler can defend.
Do you want the Rockets to make this trade?
You know what? Yeah, make it.
You do want them to make the trade? All right. Just curious. Now, Warriors at the Garden tonight to take on the Knicks. Huge favorites, but here's the question. How concerned are you about this being a Kevin Durant showcase for the team he may choose to play for next season? It's getting spooky here on 95.7 The Game.
If you're not listening to Warriors basketball, you're missing this.
Curry now for about 30. Heat check. Curry, step back off the dribble, three. Are you kidding me?
Don't miss a second of Warriors basketball.
Fires away, got it! Ridiculous.
Only on the home of the NBA champs, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
You want Raider tickets to Sunday's game against the Colts? We got them. We're giving them away today at 8:45 a.m. right before Beat the Bookie. 1 hour after that at 9:45 a.m., Low versus Dibs. Both had Houston last night. Congratulations, boys. Job well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
All right. So the Warriors are at the Garden tonight to take on the New York Knicks. Tip time, 4:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. What does Steph Curry have planned for an encore? Well, whatever it is, it's probably not enough in the eyes of one Stephen A. Smith.
What chances do you give Steph to win another MVP this season?
Slim. Very slim. I wouldn't say none, because he's the greatest shooter I've ever seen in my life. And obviously he's capable of exploding, but I'll give it a slim chance simply because of the team that he's on. As great as he is, and even though he's the catalyst, he's the straw that stirs that cup in Golden State. The reality is you have one of the top three players on the planet, and Kevin Durant is your teammate. You've got one of the great top five greatest shooters we've ever seen in NBA history as a backcourt mate in Klay Thompson. So there's plenty of nights where you're going to have to share the wealth. LeBron is not going to have to share the wealth to that degree. The Greek Freak is not going to have to share the wealth to that degree. Anthony Davis is not going to have to share the wealth to that degree. Kawhi Leonard is not going to have to share the wealth to that degree. So because of that reality, I would tell you that the chances are slim, but I can never say zero with the greatest shooter we have ever seen in our lifetime.
Stephen A. Smith, yesterday on First Take. Now, Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless, individuals, time and time again, they say things and we ridicule them for their takes being just so outlandish because they're the ones who invented the hot take to an extent. But some truth to this. As you listen to Stephen A. Smith lay it out, there's less screaming than normal, which leads me to believe, perhaps, this is
less incendiary than normal.
It is, but I disagree with him. I mean, Slim is just inaccurate because, as you saw from the last game, Steph Curry doesn't necessarily have to share the load. And these guys just play their game. They're playing with a freedom and a free-flowing style that's going to suit all three of them. Once Clay finds the range from three-point range, and he's shooting about 15% right now, you know he's going to get his. Kevin Durant had 30 points when Steph Curry had 51. So to say that these guys can't shine at the same time, two stars can shine in the same sky because KD had a quiet 38 and 7 while Steph was going incendiary mode with 51. So maybe tonight KD goes for 51 and Steph has a quiet 30, but it's still 30 points. And when you look at points per game, he's going to be right there among the leaders at the end of the year.
Whether it's Steph making a push for 82 games for this award, or maybe KD flips the script and he gets real hot and Steph takes a step back and he's the one that challenges for it. The number one argument against Durant, Steph, or any other Warrior winning the MVP award is the fact that, like Stephen A. Smith mentioned, right, so much talent around them. How do you combat that?
He's right, Dibs. When you listen to Stephen A. Smith, it is a slim chance that he wins the MVP because of those reasons he laid out. You have, he said, a top five shooter in Klay Thompson. He's right. Top five three-point shooter in the game right now. And then you have arguably the top two players in KD that you're playing with. So when you look at the things that are surrounding, it is slim. And I think the way that we talked about yesterday, that's how you combat that. Yesterday when you talked about the three-point, breaking that record, getting 400 or 500, shattering a record, it's going to take a Superman type of a year in order for him to get where he needs to get, and that's MVP. He's going to have to do something very, very special. If not, if he's just averaging 30 and it's other guys averaging 30, he's not getting it.
He's going to have to knock down 453 points.
Yeah.
You're right. He's part of his biggest problem is topping himself. He's his own worst enemy because he set the bar so high that if he is unable to surpass what he's done in the past, it's going to be tough for people to take notice. People like the new flavor. That's what they're into. Right now, everybody likes the Rams and the Chiefs. No one wants to talk about the Patriots or the Saints necessarily, yet there they are, hanging around, making themselves part of the conversation, whether you like it or not. The one thing I wish the voters for this award could see past is just simple box scores, right? Simple box scores and obvious surface-level arguments. What I mean by that is this. There's no credit given to Steph Curry or KD for that matter, or Clay or Draymond for how well they work together. We preach as a society teamwork. We preach sharing. We preach being egoless. We always hear that phrase that it's amazing how much can be accomplished when nobody cares who gets the credit, right? We've all heard that. Yet we stand up and we preach that stuff to the youth and we preach it to one another and then we never follow it. Jimmy Butler in Minnesota, perfect example. Butler can't get along with his teammates, so he needs to be traded. That season got derailed before it ever even started. Remember when Dwight Howard was in Houston with James Harden? That could have been a very potent 1-2 punch, yet they couldn't get along. Much like Howard couldn't get along with Kobe Bryant in L.A. Much like Kobe Bryant couldn't get along with Shaquille O'Neal. Much like LeBron James couldn't get along with Kyrie Irving. These things happen in professional sports. It's not the end of the world, but it happens on a frequent basis. Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs. These are top flight players, MVP candidates all around the planet, and yet no ding shows up on their resume when their seasons fall apart because they can't work well with others. Because we accept it. We understand that that's part of the business. That's fine. But why is no credit paid to a guy like Steph who, well, he's just got too much talent around him? Yeah, but he works really well with the talent. He works really well with the talent. He has no problem deferring to the talent. He never complains about the other talent. He's never fighting with the other talent. You never hear a single grumbling about one guy not getting enough looks. Klay Thompson is ice cold right now. Offensively, Klay Thompson stinks right now. Great defensively, but he's struggling. And yet, you don't hear anything. He's not pressing. His teammates aren't pressing. They all realize he's going to come around. Everything's going to be fine. There's no credit paid to this whatsoever. MVP voters can't see through the most obvious takes and the most obvious numbers in the box score. And I really wish that's something that would be taken into account here.
I think a lot of the MVP voters don't see this team. And think about the 51-point game from the other night. That game tips off at 7:40 Pacific time. That's 10:40 in the East. And unless you're a diehard hoop head who doesn't have to get up at 3:30 in the morning, you're not watching that game. So you only see the highlights they show you on TV, which is Steph from 30, Steph from 35, Steph from 40. Oh, he's an unbelievable shooter. But all the things you laid out are nuances. And when you look to vote for MVP, unless you're watching every game of every team, which nobody does, you're going to miss out on a lot of the nuance. And what you said about this super team, the thing that really makes them so special is the fact that they do get along, they do defer, there doesn't seem to be any fracture or fissure when it comes to one guy getting more shine than the others.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but you got to realize Steph has won two MVPs. So people are still able to watch and they're still able to see something, even though it's later. We understand that you know who the Golden State Warriors is. Everybody knows who this team is. They're the most hated, the most feared team in the NBA. This is arguably one of the greatest teams that we've ever seen assembled together. And you got to step back and look at it too, Joe, when you're saying, you know, look at these guys, how they get along in certain things. You look at Kobe and Shaq. They didn't get along. Was it because two stars couldn't shine? Or was it necessary that Shaq wasn't working, Kobe was a hard worker and he was wanting to push him and wanted more? If you look at LeBron and Kyrie, did they get along, or was just he wants to go do his own thing? There was never, they hated one another. There was never that particular relationship wasn't fractured because neither one of them worked all that. It was just he wanted to be the guy on his team. I think when you look at the Warriors, I think the Warriors, all of them work. Every one of the guys, they're self-motivated. They self-work. They have so many different stars that they don't have to rely on, God, you got to carry me. It's so many collection of stars together that it flows nicely because they know they have someone that they don't have to necessarily. When you have just two guys, sometimes it becomes awkward because of the fact so much is put on just those two. This is a collection of talent. I think all these guys work hard too, their work ethic. Like you're talking about, why do they all get along? Why are they all able to gel together? Because all of them, Draymond Green out of college, guys underachiever, overachiever, because he just works. That's what he puts in time. Klay Thompson, all the shots that he takes. KD, those guys, they are hoop heads. This team collected a lot of hoop heads that love it. Shaq was a guy, did he love basketball or he just dominated? Did he work, come in at 350, 340? He would come in overweight, all those different things. He just was so dominant of a guy that necessarily sometimes it took away from what he really could have been.
Speaking of Shaq, in the most probably on-brand move of Shaquille O'Neal's career, he just opened, he's now in the fried chicken game. Big Chicken Shaq.
Wow.
That's what it's called.
Oh, okay.
Big Chicken, S-H-A-Q. Big Chicken Shaq just opened in Las Vegas. He was there shaking hands. I had a bunch of friends who were in the media that got a, unfortunately. Sorry,
man,
Lo.
It's just, you know.
Even in a situation where weren't tasked with talking, you still
happened?
Found a way to commit a five-yard penalty. That's like being a defensive, that's like being a linebacker and getting called for offsides when your offense is on the field.
When I'm clearing my throat?
When the offense is on
did
the
I say
field.
Something?
You know what you did because you immediately stared at Dibs. You know what you did.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Did you or did you not?
Did I say something or just... That's the question you got to ask. You, go check
you
the
said
tape.
Something. Me as a one-ear guy, yeah. My right ear is... Oh, I can hear every tickety-tack of Ann on the keyboard.
I'll check the tape. Your eyes immediately
I was listening to Joe. I didn't exactly hear what you said, but I know you spoke into an off mind.
For the Niners-Cardinals game this weekend, there are very few storylines that are going to get you interested, one of which comes out of Vegas. You will not believe what the bookmakers have to say about Niners-Cardinals. We're going to have that plus the preview for you next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Steph put on a show against the Wizards, scoring 51 points. Steph follow up his big game under the bright lights of Madison Square Garden. Tune in today to find out. Coverage starts at 3, tip off at 4:30 on the home of the NBA champs, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
They've won one game all year. They were blown out last week at home by the Los Angeles Rams. 2 weeks prior to that, they were blown out at home by the Arizona Cardinals. And yet, the 49ers are a one-point favorite on the road for Sunday's showdown with the Arizona Cardinals. Welcome back, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Help me with that. I know I'm supposed to be the one that brings the Vegas insight, so to speak.
But yeah.
Good God, man. This team is a favorite on the road. What does that say about Arizona?
That's exactly what I'm going to say.
They're ferocious, Coach. Think about the first meeting. The 49ers, I don't know if you can say they dominated the game, but if it wasn't for five turns, they win that game. So maybe that's what odds makers are looking at.
Yeah, they win it going away, and you had a rookie quarterback make one throw the first play of the game. And besides that, what did he do? I mean, you're talking about they had, what, five or six first downs? I mean, you looked at what Arizona was able to do. They didn't win time of possession. They didn't win first downs. They didn't yard rushing. They didn't win passing. They won the most important. It's turnovers. And they won the game. But it was like Arizona was – it was an ugly game. So I think that people look at it, and I think the odd makers are looking at it and saying, what's there? You have an Arizona team that guys want to out. The guys want to be traded. The guys are like, get me out of here. You fire your offensive coordinator. All the different things surrounding Arizona makes it seem this team, the Niners, look as if injury plague has caused them to be here. If you look at the team over there, they're playing. Arizona seems like they're coming apart within. Guys are coming out publicly. I don't want to play here. I want to be traded, demanding trade. So you have two different state of minds of teams. And I think that's what the betting, that's what Vegas is telling you.
Should we be expecting a 49er win this weekend?
Yes, I think so.
Should we expect them to go down to Arizona and get this win and come back, what, 2-5 then?
Even with all the injuries and all the question marks and you got guys playing hurt, other guys hurt not playing, I would say yes, because what Lowe described in Arizona, that thing is coming apart at the seams. And we have a team here locally that has that same feel. The Niners aren't that team. They're a team that's undermanned and maybe undercoached on one side of the ball, some would argue, but they're still playing hard. You haven't seen many snaps. Against the Rams game, you kind of sensed a little bit of give up, but not a full-on broken, coming-apart-at-the-seams vibe.
Jim Barnett from New York City in about 8 minutes to preview tonight's showdown with the Knicks. If you look at the trajectory this team has taken under C.J. Beathard, there's a pattern. First game, Beathard was called into action. Full-time was a Charger game on the road in Los Angeles. What happened there? Very nice performance. Now, granted, there were mistakes and they lost, but they hung tight and they had a chance to win. Following week, they come home. They play the Cardinals. They embarrass themselves. Week after that, they go on the road again. Take on Green Bay. Have a chance to win it late. They don't get it done, but again, they look good in the process. Then they come home and they get blown out by the Rams. They have played well on the road with C.J. Beathard. They have played well every other week with C.J. Beathard, and they have played well against good competition, the Packers and the Rams with C.J. Beathard. This is not exactly good competition, but the opportunity is there to grab win number two this Sunday. Niners defensive coordinator Robert Saleh speaking to the media this week on the challenges of trying to slow down an Arizona offense that will be led by a new offensive coordinator this weekend in Byron Leftwich.
Obviously, he's going to have his wrinkle. They've got what they put on tape, and trying to see what he's been influenced by in his past, and we'll see as the game goes on. Obviously, there's going to be some. It's going to be very important for in-game adjustments to see what they do in-game, but it'll be interesting to see what he comes up with.
How difficult is it to plan for a team that you could have volumes of tape on them? But when you're going up against a new offensive coordinator and Byron Leftwich, a first-time offensive coordinator, there's stuff you're going to see this week that's not on any tape anywhere.
Yeah, you'll see a wrinkle here and there. What are you going to do, change your whole offense for this new offensive coordinator? Now your guy's got to learn it too. He might have it in his head, but they don't. So, yeah, you'll see different wrinkles. I don't think you'll see a new offense, Joe. What you'll see is a different time. His mind thinks different than Wisenhunt. So he's going to be doing certain things that Wisenhunt wouldn't have done on 3rd-and-3. He might be, thinking instead of third and three, just get the sticks, he might say, I'm taking a shot on third and three. So it's going to be the mindset of the offensive coordinator you're going to have to adjust to, not necessarily the plays. Because the plays, you can't all of a sudden throw a brand new offense. They didn't have a bye week. So it's going to be the mindset. What is he thinking? How do I get on the same page as him? Okay, what is he thinking on, you know, fourth and one? What is he doing? So I think the biggest thing is going to be in-game adjustment to understand what this guy's game flow is.
Can you go back to his playing days and see maybe plays where he excelled and how those plays match up with perhaps what Josh Rosen might do? I know the quarterbacks are different, and Byron Leftwich was a bigger guy, more mobile. He'd get outside the pocket. But can you go back and look at that tape, and will that have any value at all, you think, Lo?
I think it'd have value to say, hey, okay, you're looking at what he wants to do, what's his mindset, but you got to realize, as a coach, as a player, it's totally different. You got to realize the head coach, he's in an untoward situation, so he throws a guy in and says, this is the first-time offensive coordinator. You got to realize, are you going to burn a timeout? Do you going to get the right personnel in? Who's calling the player? 12 personnel, 11 personnel, 0, 10 personnel. What is going to happen with the game flow? This is the first time offensive coordinator. What looks are you going to do? Oh, my God, I got the wrong personnel out there. They're in nickel. So he's going to have to think three steps ahead. Is he got great assistant coaches on the sideline that when he says 12, hey, get the 12 personnel in there. Who's going to be making sure that's relay? So I think that both these teams, this is going to be interesting. Like Solly was saying, it's going to be trying to adjust to what his rhythm is of the game. I don't think it's going to be a bunch of different trick plays or a bunch of different. You just don't have time. It's only been a week.
Tendencies.
Yes.
No one knows his tendencies.
Exactly.
You have an idea of what Jason Garrett is going to do, fourth and one from the opponent's 30 late in the game when he needs to score.
He's going to punt that ball away.
You can send out the punt unit. You do not have to worry about a trick. He's going to punt. You know what some of these guys are going to do. Adam Gase last night, down two touchdowns, fourth and four, decides to kick the field goal. Congratulations. You still need two touchdowns.
Oops.
What are you doing? This is a guy who went on sides early in the game because he didn't trust his defense, and who also went for it on a fourth down early in the game because he didn't trust his defense. Yet he kicks the field goal and still needs two touchdowns, so he banks on his defense to get the stops. What are you doing? Again, these decision-making processes from some of the coaches around the league are insane. But speaking of Byron Leftwich, 1 week from today is November 2nd. That will be the 16-year anniversary. 16 years. When Byron Leftwich was carried down the field by his teammates at Marshall in that famous game where he was trying to lead them back against who? I don't know if anyone can land this. I didn't even know. And I just brought it up to make sure I could get the date.
It's November 2nd.
November 2nd,
I totally
2002.
Remember.
Leftwich had the wrecked ankle.
Yep, and they carried him, offensive lineman, down the field. Yeah.
It would have to be Bowling Green. I mean, that would be my random guess.
Not a bad guess.
It would be a conference game, you would figure. I don't know.
Toledo.
Old Toledo.
Also, not a bad guess. Back then, Marshall was in the MAC. They did play a MAC opponent. They played Akron.
Mm.
Akron is the correct answer, but Toledo,
damn,
not bad.
Zips.
Same state.
Yeah, I was trying.
The fact that you got that close, I think that's job well done. For a lot of the guessing
effort
that goes on around here, there's some big swings and misses.
Yeah.
Those were two solid guesses.
We'll give the light ones. A couple of light claps for the family.
I can't believe that's 16 years ago.
I know.
You know that 2002 looks like 1980 when you see some of this tape come up? I want you making a murder. Like, this is back from 2001. I'm like, that looks like 75.
Oh, because the no high def factor.
Yeah. Like, and then I realized when I was born in 80. So in 2000, 80 seemed like such a far way in the distance. Now it's 2018. It's basically the same distance back to 2000.
Don't even tell me, Coach. When I start talking about the year I was born, maybe the most tumultuous year of the century, 1968. That one hurts me inside when I think about where we are now.
Aaron Burr versus Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, I missed that by a couple of months. Don't steal my stuff. That was my pre-show. That was my pre-show heat.
It's all I had. I was trying in my mind. I was like, I got to go back really far. What can I go with? And it clicked, and I immediately thought, I go, he used that earlier. But
yeah,
it was an inappropriate analogy I'll share off the air. But
wildly inappropriate.
What year was it that you had to turn the knob in order to change the channel?
That was the 60s and the 70s. Yeah, my grandpa had a remote control, I remember, in the mid-70s, but it was like you pushed the button and it went, and it was like a motor that actually physically clicked the channel.
This is the one that was connected by
a
wire.
Did you have the tinfoil dibs? Did you guys ever now?
Rabbit ears, Coach?
Rabbit ears?
The coat hanger.
Yeah, the coat.
No doubt.
The coat hanger?
The coat hanger, yeah.
I can appreciate that.
Because you didn't, you know, you had to hook up the back of the TV to get the actual channels because you got the channels through the rabbit ears, the antenna. You didn't have cable. There was no such thing.
When you stare me down telling me this, I do know that.
You didn't experience it, though. Like, you're born in 80,
as you're
coach.
Giving me the rundown, it's like, I'm aware. I appreciate the insight. I am aware of how that works.
You're barely older than MTV.
I had to climb up on the roof and move the antenna, you know, move it.
They put
you up on top of the chicken coop, and you'd move that around?
We didn't have a chicken coop. We have a house. We didn't live in a chicken coop. Sorry about that.
No, I mean on a farm.
Sorry about that.
You know what? Well done. I opened myself up to that, and you fired back appropriately. That was a great counterpunch right there.
Boom!
Damn, that's not how I wanted to end the 6 o'clock hour. All right,
I'm sorry.
7 o'clock hour. Time to start fresh. Very nicely done. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. Good morning. Welcome to the program. We start with this. Former Golden State Warrior, who you can catch doing a tremendous job as a Warriors analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area, Jim Barnett, who is brought to you by Victory Toyota. Visit them at 5 Heinsinger Plaza in beautiful Seaside, California, or online at victorytoyota.com. Jim, how's the Big Apple treating you?
The Big Apple is nice today. Tomorrow it's going to be very stormy. We're here for 3 nights because we don't ever do this, and it's really nice to – it makes it very convenient. We play the Knicks tonight, and then we play Brooklyn on Sunday, so you get it out of the way. So there's only one trip to New York this year.
Let me ask you something. While you're in New York, is there any particular restaurant or place you like to visit when you get out on the road, New York specifically?
There are a few different restaurants that – of course, I played for the Knicks, so I've got a few old haunts. But there are so many different ones, and, yeah, I don't always go back to – one specific, but through the years I will revisit some of those. But there's so many great restaurants, and like to go down to the Soho district and what have you. But it's a great city. There's no city like it in the world. I really enjoyed my time living here. And once if you live in New York, it's so different. Then you really get acclimated to the
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.